Hey, what's up, you guys? Welcome to the podcast. This is the Gabby Hour, and I'm your host, Gabby Giselle. And today's podcast episode is going to be about my lore. Who am I? A little bit of my backstory, what it was like growing up for me. Girl, we are going to spill all the tea. We're going to be talking about how once I almost jumped a girl at church youth group. We spilling the tea about how my first boyfriend locked me in a hot car in the desert. And to all the things. So I hope you guys enjoyed this. Make sure you guys are subscribed if you guys are watching here on YouTube. If you guys are listening to the pod wherever you get your podcast, make sure you are following the podcast. Follow us on Instagram at the Gabby Hour and enjoy the rest of this episode. So the first thing we're going to be talking about is really why I started this podcast, why I decided, you know what, a podcast is the next move for me. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm an OG YouTube addict, okay? I was on the Gen X Pen, the Andrea Russet, the O2Ls, the MagCon boys, okay? Vine had me in a chokehold, and then YouTube took right over. Okay? Back in about like 2011 or so, there was an app called Fullscreen, and Fullscreen hosted podcasts for creators. So they would have a studio space where creators would come in, they would do their podcast. I believe Shane Dawson had a podcast, Andrea Russet had a podcast. I think Tana Mojo eventually did something with Fullscreen. I don't even remember what, but you know, that really fascinated me. And I was like, oh my God, I want to do a podcast. This is so cool. I've always really wanted to do YouTube, which follow me on my vlog channel, Gabby Giselle. Check out the whole process of starting this podcast. I've been vlogging the whole situation, the whole journey, because it's been definitely a journey. And I just always really felt that being a creator was so fun, and not so much in the sense of like, oh, creators make this much money and this, that, and the other. Because I mean, none of us really know how much creators make. I know they're making bank, the ones that do well, but not all of them do well. And not only that, but it's just fun. You know, talk a little bit about my growing up, my upbringing. You know, we used to do fun stuff as kids, and I've just always really, really been fascinated by entertainment and that industry. I was a big theater kid. We're going to get into it. But a couple of weeks ago, I had a conversation with my best friend from high school, Layla. Shout out, Layla. Love you, queen. And I told her, I was like, dude, I'm thinking about starting a podcast. I really want to do it. I just don't know how I want to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. She's like, girl, you can do it. Like, stop making excuses. You have the time for it. Like, you've been saying you want to do this for forever. And it really just pushed me. Having that conversation with somebody who's known me for a really, really long time. She's probably one of my oldest friends that I still keep up with. She was like, girl, you've been talking about this forever. Just do it. So here we are. Every time I tell people, oh, I'm starting a podcast, people are like, well, what is it going to be about? And my response is, it's going to be about me and my life and who I am and my opinions and things like that. Because I'll tell you what, I do not want to niche myself into a corner. I don't want to pigeonhole myself into a corner where I can no longer escape that. Over the last couple of years, I've been doing content creation a little bit more seriously, a little bit more consistently, and it's really been centered around fitness. But I feel like the fun content for me is the stuff centered around my life, you know, my travels, my relationship, my friends, you know, going out, getting ready. Like, that is what I enjoy doing content about. So I don't want to niche myself into a hole that I can't dig myself out of later. Do you know what I'm saying? Or that is maybe difficult for me to dig myself out of later. This podcast is really just going to be me yapping about my favorite things, you know, stuff about my life, what's going on, current events, giving you guys the tea on my life and all the things that happen in it. So this is just going to be for the girlies. I feel like at a time in my life when I was consuming the most YouTube and podcasts and things like that, it was really when I just needed somebody that I felt understood by. You know, I think that's why content creation does so well, why YouTube does so well, why vloggers do so well, is because it's relatable. It's realistic. It's not some high stakes, you know, high budget movie that feels unrelatable and almost too perfect, because life isn't perfect. And so my favorite podcast, you know, Broski Report. What does Brittany talk about the entire time? Literally random shit. She just picks random shit and starts Googling, and then it's literally the funniest person on edibles drinking a Red Bull with too much caffeine coursing through her system, talking about her life and the funny shit that's going on in her life. And I love it. It's one of my favorite podcasts in the entire world. So let's get into the meat and potatoes of today's podcast. So today's podcast is called My Lore. Now, what does that mean? I recently learned the word lore, and the definition of the word lore, according to Google, is a body of traditions and knowledge on a subject or held by a particular group, typically passed from person to person by word of mouth. So what does this mean, right? Like, what are we talking about? What are you talking about, girl? Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Let me talk about me, how what it was like growing up. I grew up in South Florida. And I just want to give you guys a little bit of background, so that way as you guys watch more episodes, as I post more episodes, you guys are able to kind of like, oh, yeah, I kind of know this girl. And I just want to make sure that you guys are on the same plane as I am. So, yay. So just a little basic info. A lot of y'all are going to be like, she's Puerto Rican, she's Mexican, she's El Salvadorian, and I'm Mexican, full-blooded Mexican. Both of my parents are from Mexico. Latina, nicknamed Latina Mommy. 23, I'm a Virgo, so I'm born September 6th. I was born 5 days before 9/11, and no, I don't remember it. And if that freaks you out, maybe this podcast isn't for you, okay? Because it's not that big of a deal. Every time I tell somebody how old I am, they're always like, wait, what? Like, you were born before, do you not remember? I'm like, oh God, shut up. I am 100% of Virgo. You are going to find that one out. And now, do I believe in astrological science? No, not really. But I think that bitches born in September are badass bitches. And we have problems. A lot of them. Most of them being mental. Most of them being attitude problems. So, you know what? I'm a tiny little girl, and I got a lot of rage in my body, and I got a lot of tea in this body to spill. So I hope you guys enjoy it. But I'm actually a small business owner. I've been a small business owner for about 4 years now. I don't really want to talk about it on the podcast, though, because I want this to be separate from my actual job and my actual real life. So just know that I have an actual career. So we're going to talk a little bit about what it was like for me growing up here, especially in South Florida. Daughter of two Mexican immigrants, you know, what that was like, being too Mexican for the white kids and being too white for the Mexicans, because I was, past tense, a no sabo. I'm a lot better at speaking Spanish now. I can speak for days. So a lot of what my childhood is, I feel like my childhood, my generation specifically, is... Sorry, we're gonna get comfy. All right, we're gonna get comfy, cozy. We're recording here in my reading corner. If you couldn't tell, also by the surroundings, this is some of my favorite books are on the wall. You can't see some of them, but I feel like my childhood was the last childhood that was normal. I feel like I was the last generation of kids who didn't grow up on the internet. And now I did have Facebook. At like 8 years old, I made a Facebook, but it was mostly like weird shit, and we'll talk about that. But to hang out on top of that like big ass green electrical box that we probably shouldn't have been hanging out on top of, and that would give us like third degree burns in the summer because in Florida it is hot as hell. Except I don't know what is going on. I think that there's too many snowbirds down here. Y'all be bringing down the cold weather. This morning at 9:30 a.m. it was 59 degrees out. On like in the middle of March, at the end of March, we should be hot. We should be hot, living our best lives on the beach, Miss Girl. What is going on? But I won't complain because I really hate the hot weather. So whatever. You know, we didn't really have phones. Like we did, but actually talking to somebody last night about this, I had one of those LG flip phones that like you would slide up and it would be like the keyboard. And oh, I thought I was the bitch with that. This was when Wi-Fi became a thing. Like everybody now had Wi-Fi at their homes. I didn't for a while, but my friends had Wi-Fi. So I would literally hang out the house next door, which was like abandoned most of the year. The family would only come down for spring break mostly. And we'd hang out in the driveway and I would connect to my friend's Wi-Fi and I would play like music on YouTube on my phone, which is insane because I didn't have money to download music and pay for it. So that was what we did. And it was so fun. I used to have a friend who lived with her grandparents and her mom lived right across the street from her. But, you know, she was really, really spoiled and they would buy her tons of clothes. And we used to go to her house and film like YouTube music videos. And she had tons of clothes and I was much younger than her and her friends. So she would send me home sometimes with bags and bags and bags of her cool clothes. And it was just really, really fun. And I feel like I'm the last generation to have that kind of childhood. And it makes me sad. It makes me really sad because I feel like kids nowadays deserve that kind of childhood. They deserve to just have a childhood where you're not worried about what you look like. Such a deep sense. Like, I feel like once social media came around and once, you know, whole kids at your school could see what you were doing in your home life and it just follows you home. It just felt so like, I feel bad for kids nowadays. You know, they're just kind of unhappy, I feel like. I don't know. But speaking of old phones, do you guys remember those Nokia, like, colorful phones that everybody wanted? Oh my God. When I tell you, I shook with just absolute jealousy whenever I saw somebody with one of those colorful ass Nokias. And growing up, my mom would just like give me her old iPhone. So like, I think my first smartphone was, I don't know if you would call that LG phone a smartphone, but first like, phone was my mom's old ass, like iPhone 2 or 3 or something when they were like bricks and it didn't have service on it or anything, but it just felt so cool having it around. She gave me one of those like Samsung, like flip open old phones that was like skinny. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about, but if you're watching on YouTube, like, gonna insert a picture if I can find one here. But to play pinball on that phone, girl, I thought I was the coolest girl with that phone. It's like the internet came around and social media. I'm so sorry to anybody from elementary school who had me on Facebook, because the demon in me just needed to do a to be rude for every person I knew multiple times. Do you know how fun it was to me to go to Facebook, clicking, clacking, and being like this or comment down below for a TBR and a rate? And I would make a video and I'd be like, I'd be like sitting in front of the laptop. It would be on my mom's laptop computer, like sitting like this, like, right? And I'd be like, to be rude, Jessica. And if there was tea with this person, I didn't want to actually be like only mean to them because I'm smart. I would be like, one time you were like mean to me in class and I don't really know why, but it's okay. Right? Like, you're like an 8 out of 10. You're really pretty. And yeah, I don't really know what the problem is, but I hope we can be friends. Like, literally the way that I was in the tea, in the know, okay? Remember, Kick was the big thing back then. I don't know if Kick is still a thing, but it's like WhatsApp or Messenger. It's basically like an message random people. You can add random people from all over the world and message them. And like, I used to have like boys on there, and like, I thought I was the shit. We used to go on Omegle all the time. And of course, what was happening on Omegle? Just PNR explosion chamber on Omegle all the time, every single day. And you know what? I think that that built character. I think that that was where my undying annoyance of men really just started. Because that we used to do that I really think is a huge part of my personality is the girl who lived in my neighborhood who was like my best friend. Her name was Chelsea. Shout out Chelsea, love you. But she was older than me. And so she was in middle school when I was like in the 4th and 5th grade already. She was like 2 years older than me. And I thought she was so cool because she would talk about theater class and she'd be like, oh, we play this game and we do this and we do that. And then we started writing plays and she would literally type these out and print them on her like grandmother's computer and print them. Do you know how much money it probably cost to make these scripts? Like, her grandma probably used to be like, bitch, stop. Okay. And she would pass them out to the neighborhood kids. We would rehearse our lines. We would do practices. And then we would perform our plays. And were they complete ripoffs of Disney princess plays? Yes. Yes, in fact, they were. But you know what? We had a good time. And who watched our performances? Nobody. Nobody did. And eventually this kid in our neighborhood named Dylan literally looked us in the eyes and ripped his script in half and was like, I'm not doing this anymore. You can't make me. And the theater company shut down. The theater company shut down, babe, because nobody wanted to do it anymore because everybody was getting like frustrated and annoyed and nobody wanted to be up until like 8 p.m. from like 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. during the summer practicing these plays as if we were going to perform them for anybody. And the theater company broke up and we never did another performance again. Yeah, that's where I really fell in love with theater. And once I went to middle school, I was like, I have to sign up for theater. I have to meet this theater teacher. He's so cool. I've heard so many awesome things. So this is where like my first love comes in. And I wasn't really in love with him in a romantic way. It was more of like, I just thought he was so cool. I thought he was like the funniest, coolest dude ever. And I looked up to him so much and I wanted his approval so, so much that he was like my first love. Like I truly was obsessed with him. And I actually am friends with some of my old middle school teachers now. I've met him since I was in middle school and he was just so much fun. And it wasn't in love in the sense of like, oh my God, I have such a crush on him, because it really wasn't that. I was really young. I didn't really have that for boys or men at the time. Definitely not men. Other than Harry Styles and One Direction, but that was a whole thing. And the MagCon boys. But yeah, I was super, super obsessed with him. And we, you know, go to state competitions and county competitions. Or they're not county. They're districts. Mm-hmm, that's what it's called here in Florida, at least. But one of the first times I ever got in trouble at school, okay? Well, there was two times I ever got in trouble in middle school. This is when, you know, I started to really come into my aggression, my anger, okay? First time I ever got in trouble, well, this is probably after, but I want to tell it first. So I got in trouble because I was really, really jealous that my theater teacher, we're going to call him Mr. Green, okay? And Mr. Green used to give this one girl in our class all the lead roles. This like really sweet little white girl. She was really, really friendly and really talkative. And it's like totally makes sense now to me why she would get all the roles. But I was really jealous and I wanted Mr. Green to like me. And I was really upset that I didn't get any lead roles and I just wasn't talented enough. And that's okay. But I didn't know that at the time. So in a group chat with all the theater kids, I said verbatim, she gets all the lead roles because she's Mr. Green's fucking princess. Now, nothing ever came of that. She never said anything to me about it. She wasn't like, hey, that wasn't nice. Like, I can't remember much of middle school, but I do know that nothing was ever said about this situation. I went to her house. Like, we were still friends. It was just, I said something a little bit mean. It was never talked about again until we went to the school district to be recognized for like our theater troupe or something. And my mom came, everybody's parents were there. We were all dressed up. And her mom comes up to my mom and is like, did you know that your daughter called my daughter a fucking princess and is bullying her and blah, 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 blah. And my mom comes up to me and she's like, why is this lady saying that you said this and this and this? Did you say that? Mind you, my parents are like Hispanic, conservative, traditional, like you don't cuss, you don't have boyfriends, you don't do this, you don't do that. So I was like spooked to the max. Okay. I was spookied. All right. And I was like, okay, like, and then my mom is like, come here. And she grabs me by the arm. You know, when your mom like grabs you with her nails, like grabs you like this. Oh, she grabs me. She walks me over to Mr. Green and she's like, what is this I hear about? And she grabs the other mom too and the other daughter. And she's like, what happened about like her calling her a fucking princess? Like, did she get in trouble? Like, why did it wasn't I notified about this? And Mr. Green, I think that he liked me. And this is why he didn't do anything about it, because I think that he was a fan of mine. And he was probably like, period. But he was like, well, the thing is when things are happening over text, like on the phone and stuff, we can't do anything about that, which is a complete lie, because you can, you know, it's called cyberbullying and you're allowed to kind of come after kids outside of school, what they do on their phones. The problem comes in when they're like anonymous pages. That's when it's really, really hard to lock down who it was, who said what, and you know, what did they say exactly. But he fully lied and he was like, I can't do anything about this because it was on the phone outside of school. There's not really much I can do about it, really. And so my mom was like, that's ridiculous, like she should be punished. And like the mom was like, yeah. And then the girl and I were just staring at each other and she was kind of like, damn, like I didn't know my mom was gonna do this. And I was like, damn, I didn't know we had beef. And we didn't. After that, we were still chill and nothing ever really happened with that. But the second time, or like the second story of when I've gotten in trouble at school is a lot more funny. Okay. And I'll tell you why. Because there was this girl, we're going to call her Brianna. All right. Brianna was really, really pretty. And she, you know, was well endowed. And we were all really young. So any girl who had like big boobs, a butt, or like was pretty, automatically labeled, she's a slut, right? So they're like, she did this with this guy, and they're spreading rumors. And there was a rumor that Brianna got fingered with four fingers. And this is when the Hunger Games was coming out. So everybody at school was doing like this. And they were pretending and telling teachers that it had to do with the Hunger Games when it really had to do with this girl. And so the whole school hated this girl. They were bullying her for it. And I didn't even like her. I think that we had beef about something else, but I thought it was ridiculous that kids in middle school were talking about sex and all these other things, because to me, that was so far removed. I did not talk to boys. I wasn't allowed to talk to boys. I just thought it was ridiculous. And one day we're at a school rally and this kid does the whole thing and he's like, four fingers or some shit like that, because the girl had gotten called up or she was like on stage performing or something. I can't remember. And I turned around and I said, shut the fuck up, you fucking idiot, right? And I get pulled out, of course, get pulled out. And my teacher writes me a report. It goes up to the administrator's office. The next day I get pulled out of class and they're like, hey, you know, you can't say that. And I was like, why not? Why can I not say that? You know, I'm defending the girl. Like, I don't understand. They're like, defending her against what? And I'm like, I can't tell you. And they're like, what do you mean you can't tell us? Like, just tell us. Like, you're not going to get in trouble. And I'm like, no, I can't tell you because it's like really inappropriate. And they're like, what kind of inappropriate? And I'm like, girl, I can't tell you because I don't want to get in trouble for saying it. Like, for some reason, I thought that I was going to get in trouble for saying it out loud. And the teacher or the administrator, she was like, it's fine. Like, is it like sexual? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, okay, just tell me. It's okay. You're not going to get in trouble for saying it. And I was like, well, they're saying that she got fingered with four fingers. And they're saying like it's bad things about her. And they're going around doing the Mockingjay thing to bully her. And I just think it's ridiculous because we're in middle school and none of these kids, it probably never even happens. Like, it's probably just fully made up. And she was like, oh. Like, just as a poor administrator thinking that I was going to be like, oh, they're saying that she's, you know, has fake boobs or something stupid, right? And I'm like, no, they're saying that she got fingered with four fucking fingers and they're doing the Mockingjay thing in class. And she's like, oh, right. Right. Oh, okay. I will handle that. I will handle that. So that was probably the first couple of times I got in trouble in school. And I don't think I ever really got in big trouble after that. I was never like a get in trouble kind of kid. I was a mean girl, and we'll get a little bit into that story really quick, but I never got in trouble much. But in middle school and elementary school, mostly elementary school, I was friends with this girl and we're going to call her Andrea. Now, Andrea was a big part of my childhood, and I'll tell you why. Because she was my best friend for a very long time and she really impacted my childhood. And full disclaimer, I do not blame her for any of what I'm about to explain. She was a product of her environment, and I fully take full responsibility for anything I did. We were both kids at the time, and we were just so stupid and immature. But I used to go to this skating rink called Generations. Now it's called like Spins or some shit, and it's been like six different names over the years. But back in my day, okay, back in my day, it was called Generations. And I met her there. We become best friends. She goes to a different school. So I was like, oh my God, she's so cool and exotic. She's gorgeous. Actually, I saw her TikTok the other day. She's happy. She's in a relationship. I think she still lives in my hometown. Like, love that for her. I do as well, by the way. Andrea would get into beef with girls at her school. Girls I didn't know. Girls that I wasn't familiar with. And, you know, to a different elementary school than her. She went to a different elementary school. She would get in a beef with these girls and then would be like, you have to back me up, blah, 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 blah. And I'd be like, send me their phone numbers or give me their Instagram. And I would like send them mean messages. And I'd be like, you stupid fucking bitch. Like, you're this and this. And like, I was just learning to curse and like what curse words were. So I'm like, fuck, shit, bitch, fucking fuck, shit. That like I'm unloading tons of words that I shouldn't be using. So I experienced depression pretty young, and the words, just use the acronym KMS, right? That was, I was very desensitized to that. And so back in the day, it was like the thing, like you just would say that, like it was kind of tense and you only used it when people were like really beefing, but I would use it all the time because that's how I felt a lot of the time. And it's not an excuse, but I would say those things to people. I would like, I was ride or dying for this girl because she's telling me, they're saying this about me. They're telling me to KMS. Like it's in sight. Like one thing about me, I ride for my friends. I really, really do. And back then I used to go to like crazy measures, obviously, because I'm a child. I don't understand the consequences of my own actions or my own words yet. But I was a big bully. And so I bullied these girls. And when we went to middle school though, I met so many of the girls that I was mean to, that I bullied, right? And I was like, oh my God, like, now it's awkward, right? Not only that, but we started going to this church youth group, okay? And we would go there. It was really just a hangout. Nobody was really like super Christian or hardcore, like Jesus loving. It was mostly just a hangout spot for the kids that went to all the middle schools around here. And so we'd go. And I meet these girls and they're like afraid of me, right? But off rip, Andrea would walk up to them and would be like, oh my God, hi, like da 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 da. And I'd be like, hold on, isn't this so-and-so that we have beef with? And she'd be like, oh no, it's cool. Like we talked it out. Girl, I didn't talk it out. I don't know these girls. Like I didn't see them at school. Like we didn't have a conversation to squash the beef. They hate me. And this is where a lot of my mean girl tendencies and bullying started to catch up with me, because now people didn't like me and it was very, very hard to make friends because all these people had such bad preconceived notions of me, and I was real worried about it. Okay. Meeting these girls and I'm like, holy crap, like I don't have any friends, and she would be best friends with these people. And then eventually I started to become friends with these girls, right? I started to squash the beef with them, started being nice to them because I was like, okay, I have to like figure out a way to make sure that these girls know that I was only mean to them for the sake of my friend. Now I'm on their side, and I stopped being friends with Andrea because I realized like this girl beefs with people. She wants me to defend her. And then all of a sudden she makes up, doesn't include me in the makeup, and I'm excluded from everybody and I have no friends, and she has all these friends and everybody loves her. And there was also other things, you know, she was super into boys and I just really wasn't. She just was mean to me sometimes. And I was like, oh, like, I don't want to be around you, even though I was mean too. I don't know what my deal was. But for whatever reason, now we don't like Andrea. Now there's beef between us and Andrea. So Andrea's running her mouth about these girls. And these three girls that I was friends with were like the popular girls, the pretty ones, like this, that, and the other. So they're like, girl, we're going to jump her. We're going to fight her because she's doing this and this and this. I was like, bet, we're going to fight her. Like, we're going to get her in a circle and we're going to beat her ass, right? And at youth group, we used to break into these rooms where it would be like other girls from the same age group and other girls from the same age group. And so we're in this room with like, I think the youth group leader, her such a sweet like older lady, maybe in her like 50s. Her name was Jackie, I think. Super sweet. She just has us all in a group and we're like, we're going to jump this girl. We're going to jump her because she was running her mouth. Like, girl, don't run your mouth and expect not to get jumped. Hello. So let's get into this room and she's sitting in the corner like this, like, we're like, oh, okay. Like doing this for attention because she would do this. Like she would do this for attention and it's whatever. And the youth group leader is like going around and we're all kind of about like what we're struggling with right now. We're catching up really quick since the last week that we've seen each other. And it gets to her and she is talking about this really, really sad thing. And I don't really want to expose her or anything because I feel like people could put two and two together. But, you know, she starts talking about struggles at home. She starts talking about things that are going on in her personal life and her home life, and it's really, really sad and serious. And we're all like looking around like, we can't jump this girl. She starts crying and we all kind of get around at each other and we're like, yeah, it's not worth it. And the other three girls, they were really nice to her, and they like hugged her, and we all kind of hugged her, and we all kind of like meet up. And after that, there really wasn't much beef that I can remember. But yeah, and honestly, that church youth group was like the most ungodly thing I've ever experienced, truly, in my life, because nobody went there to actually go to church. Hello, you want to be a part of the podcast? He is Mr. Potato. Probably see my cats in and out of the shot, but anyways, yeah, that church group was so ungodly. But my relationship with Andrea really, really impacted my life, because I felt like my relationship with her was very much, you know, same cycle. You know, we would get into beef with these girls, I would defend her, she would make up with them without telling me, and then they would hate me. And so with people who weren't even from my school, I had beef, and I had a bad reputation for being mean and for saying horrible things. And 100%, I take full responsibility for my actions. Like, she didn't hold a gun to my head and make me, but it was also very hard because it made me feel like I was a bad person. And I wasn't a bad person, I just made bad decisions. Since kind of apologized to a lot of the people that I said some fucked up things to back in like middle school and high school, but still kind of made me feel shitty about myself. And it was really, really hard, especially when it came to making friends in high school as well. And one thing I do want to say is I highly encourage you guys to change your minds. And I struggle with this still, you know, even struggle with changing my mind or allowing other people to change their opinions, because, you know, me, it's like you say one thing and that's what I go with. You know, I'm gonna run with that, is just to try and, you know, a little bit nicer, because it made me a very bitter person, you know, having this reputation of already being mean. And so most people already thought that about me. I'd be like, okay, like I guess I'm mean then, and I guess nobody likes me then. And it's not the proper reaction, but that was all I really knew how to do. And, you know, high school, try to be nice, and people, especially my friends, would be like, oh wow, like you're not being a bitch today, like are you feeling okay? When people would do this to me, are you feeling okay, I literally wanted to rip their hands off of their arms, because am I not allowed to change? Am I not allowed to become a better person? Am I not allowed to be in a good mood and to be nice to my friends? Like, you complain about me being mean or being aggressive all the time, and the one time that I try to be nicer, it's like problem. And so that was really, really hard. And it took a big hit to my mental health. And we'll get into that a lot. It just progressed really, really badly in high school, especially. But in high school, I was still doing theater. We used to go to state competitions in Tampa. It was so much fun. That was like one of my favorite memories from high school, was theater competitions and all that jazz. High school, I didn't really date boys. Again, like I said, I come from a very conservative Hispanic household where we just shouldn't be talking to boys at all. And so I never really did. And it just, it didn't bother me because I didn't really want to talk to boys much. But when I got to high school, that was when it started to feel really like I'm ugly, I'm fat, I have acne. I had really bad cystic acne. I was really insecure about my outside now, you know, just the inside, you know, not just about the way that I treated people, and then that reflected in my relationships and made it harder for me to make friends. But now I was really, really frustrated with the way that I felt outwardly. You know, they didn't like me, they didn't have crushes on me, I had this mean girl reputation, you know, just really was struggling mentally because of all these other things. Because this is when the internet was starting to be a thing, social media, Snapchat, I started having crushes on boys who didn't like me back. And I never really stayed in a friend group for really long. You know, I had friends and then we'd be friends for like a year or two. Then, you know, it would happen and then I wouldn't be friends with those people anymore. But I felt really lonely because it was trying hard to be a good friend, but it was harder because now I'm extremely depressed and angry at the world. And I'd be in good spirits and then I would go to school and try to be in a good mood, and people would be like, are you feeling okay? Like, oh wow, you're in a good mood today, you know? And it just, it sucked. It really sucked and it hurt my feelings. And I felt like, well, if I can't change for my friends, then I don't even have to change at all. Like, if they won't, they don't even want me to change then, and I try to be better, then I don't have to be. And it was just really, really bad. But I remember I was like, I really want to buy a car and move away. And so I started working my first like actual paycheck job. This job, you know, worked basically a full-time job. I was hustling, especially in the summertime. I was working every single day, doubles all the time. One time on the 4th of July, I stepped on glass that was left out in the road with bare feet, and I still came to work the next day and worked a double that day because they needed me to work a double because I wanted money so bad. And then my parents surprised me. I think my mom felt bad for me. I think because both of my siblings had gotten their first cars kind of for by my parents, you know, because about middle school, high school time was when my parents started to make a little bit more money. They're business owners as well. So I was really mad when my mom was like, well, you're gonna have to buy your own car because your siblings crashed their cars and they're ungrateful. So you're gonna have to buy your own car. And I had invisible child syndrome. I was very much not the problem child growing up. So I had to be kind of to myself and independent and take care of myself. It was just, I felt like the world was on my shoulders. And if you're feeling that way right now, or if you've ever experienced any of those things, just know you're not the only one. And there are probably other people in your circle who feel the exact same way as you, but they're never gonna say it. And it's okay. Like, something that I used to hate was when people would be like, this too shall pass. But it's true. It's so fucking true. If you had told me 5 years ago that I'd be a business owner, that I'd be in a happy, healthy, stable relationship, living with an amazing human being, you know, living my best life, doing content creation, starting a podcast, like being happy in life, not feeling depressed all the time anymore, and like being healthy, like physically, and feeling good about my outside and feeling good about the inside, and like feeling good about who I am and still being this like loud, outlandish person, but wouldn't believe you. Because that was how much I really, really hated myself. And I don't want to get super deep into it, but anyways, this one day I came home and I cried to my mom because, fun fact, my bottom lumbar on my spine, which basically mine did not disconnect from my hip on one side. So I'm crooked and I will always have back pain, especially lower back pain. And at this job, I had to, you know, freaking push booths every night, pull them out, pull them back in, and on my feet for hours and hours, and I was in pain. I was tired. I'm like 16. I'm working like 40, 50 hours a week. Like, I have no life. I barely have money. Like, I was just really, really stressing about saving for my car, right? My parents got me a car. And a video of me getting my first car on my mom's Facebook somewhere, and I literally cried. I was so relieved. I was so grateful. I was like, it felt like a moment of just like, oh, like I can relax, dude, because I was hustling. I was working with awful adults who used to like try and get me to get fired and would like lie that I was making up rumors and like lie that I was saying this and that when I never fucking did. Like, I minded my own business so hard at that job, and it bothered them so much that I was getting more hours than them, these like 22, 23 year olds. And I'm like, dude, then just do a better job. Like, I'm 16 and I'm beating you at this. Like, how? Like, you can do better. You just don't want to. Yeah. My first car, and that felt really, really good. But I still struggled a lot with mental health. Dude, I would drive around my hometown and just cry. I would just sob and scream cry and just be so miserable and unhappy. It was so sad. It's really the worst, lowest point for my mental health. Now, in that time of my life, I came up with this idea. How about if I just moved to California? I wanted to go to art school. I wanted to be a theater major. I wanted to go do acting and movies and, you know, Broadway. And it's the best place to do that, New York or LA. And I wanted to do more movies. So I was like, all right, I'll go to LA. My friend went to AMDA, and great. Mom, I have family out there. Let me move out there. I would have been the first kid in my family to go to college. And so my mom was like, yeah, whatever you want, whatever college you want to go to. And I was like, I want to go to LA. And she was like, okay. And I'm like, it's really expensive. And if I live there for a year beforehand to establish residency, I'll get cheaper tuition. Not, I moved in with my aunt the summer before my senior year. This was like 2018 or it's just 2019, I think. Yes. Right before COVID. I move in with my aunt. We drive all the way out there. And when I tell you, that was the best thing. When people say get out of your hometown, they mean it. And now that I live back here, I can appreciate it a lot more and I like it a lot more. I'm a lot happier. But if especially you're struggling mentally, like, please, like, reach out to your parents and be like, hey, can I go live with like so-and-so aunt? Or, you know, if you're 18, 19 and you still live in your hometown, like, dude, get out, like move out of there, go experience other people, because it will open your mind. And it'll feel like I'm never going to make friends because everybody has this preconceived notion of me. And I used to feel like I'm never going to have a boyfriend because none of these boys in my hometown like me. I think that I'm pretty, you know, it made me feel like my world was so small. And when you leave, you realize how big the world is and how many different people there are out there and how many other people will appreciate you. Like, you're in a relationship right now. I keep seeing these posts and they're true. Like, if him, you're somebody else's dream girl, baby. Like, you don't need to put up with anything. You don't need to stay unhappy forever. Like, being is an option and you can leave and go to whatever place you want. You want to move overseas to another country, like, do it, because if your mental health will do better with that, it's the best thing for you. I promise. It changed my freaking life. Okay. So I moved to California. I moved to SoCal. Okay. Not that fun, but the people are fucking great. It's a very Hispanic community. It's the first time in my life I felt like I belonged. So first day of school, I got invited to sit with somebody at lunch. Like my friend Noemi, shout out her. She was like, hey, like you're in my so-and-so class. Like, do you want to sit with me at lunch? And I was like, yeah, like be so nice. My first week of school, I hung out with these girls and, you know, to a football game together. And it was like my first time feeling like, wow, like likable, and people enjoy hanging out with me. And this is really, really cool. So, you know, that totally changed my life and felt like I was able to show people who I really was, because I always felt like I had this very serious, very like hard shell. And I used to think that that's how I had to be in order to have friends. And, you know, I just discovered that I didn't have to be. Boys started liking me. I started having boys reach out to me and like follow me on Instagram and be like, you're really pretty, and flirt with me. And I was like, oh my God. And my whole life freaking changed. And it was the best thing I ever could have done for myself. So I highly recommend you do this. This is when TikTok started to become big, and I made a TikTok. Actually, this is my first video that's ever gone viral on the internet, and probably like my only video that's ever gone like viral. I think it got like 500,000 views. I don't remember. It's no longer up on my TikTok. I think I took it down, but I duetted Love Anthony, one of the Hype House boys. He was dating Avani back in the day. Okay. So if y'all remember that era, he was dating Avani back in the day. And he did like a video where he like thrusts off to the side, and it was on my birthday. I remember this, and sitting there, and it's like where I'm like, and he like thrusts and I'm like bend over, and then he thrusts that way, and I'm like, and it gets like 500,000 views, and it gets like 100+K likes. And I'm like, I'm going viral. I get like 4,000 followers from it. And then from there, I just grew my following by going on live, and I have like 6,000 followers on TikTok, I think, as of right now. I'm not sure, somewhere around there, either like 5 or 6. I don't even know, but I haven't really done much with my TikTok in the last couple of years. But yeah, that was my first viral moment on the internet. I made just like the most amazing friends. And I remember I went back home in November for Thanksgiving or for Christmas. Actually, I went back to Florida for Christmas. We went to Disney for Christmas, and I came back. That was when just remember being like, oh, I'm like so much happier when I'm not home. You know, like I was like, wow. But now I came back in December, I was like, it's not that bad anymore. Like I don't feel miserable anymore, and I'm a lot happier. And I heard on the news about something involving COVID, and I was like, man, that's not gonna happen here. It's like Ebola. When Ebola happened, when I tell you guys, I was on the internet watching like all the news clips over and over and over again, being like, mom, we're gonna get Ebola, we're gonna die, and we're gonna have to be in these pits where they put all the bodies because they don't have places to put the bodies, and they're gonna just stack us up and we're gonna die. And I was like, you know, it happened, because I like flipped out over Ebola, and I was like, no way. Yeah, way. So then fast forward, our theater class, we would do 2 plays. So in November time, whatever. I remember my dad came into town for that, which was so cute of him. After the show, I dyed my hair purple. This is when my fun phase came in. I was living my best life. So I dyed my hair purple myself at home. Yes. Mm-hmm. I was a hairdresser, apparently. Apparently, I was a hairdresser. So I go back to California after hearing about COVID and thinking, it's not going to happen. First case happens. And I'm like, oh, shit. It's getting closer. And then it just starts freaking out. And then I remember, I forget when exactly it was. I can actually pull up on my phone when we got 2 weeks off of school. It was in March when we got, they were basically like, no more school. And March 9th, I believe. I don't even remember, but basically it was opening night of our other musical, which was You're in Town. And we basically told that we weren't going to be able to do the show. Before we'd even gone there, we'd all gotten an email from the school board saying that they were shutting down school for 2 weeks. And we were like, oh, are we still doing the show? And our theater teacher was like, yeah, like go get ready. Like, I don't think it's a big deal. Boom. All of a sudden out comes the school like activities director or something. And they're like, sorry, we can't do it anymore. You know, after we come back, of course, supposedly. They're like, so this is when adulthood happens, which is really not adulthood. I got a job working at a juice bar, started smoking a ton of weed. We're going to the skate park every day, like literally just living my best life with my friends, like not doing jack shit at all. Living my best life. I get a follow from this guy who went to my school supposedly on Instagram. And my first boyfriend, we're going to have a whole episode dedicated to him. So we're not going to really spend too much time here. But when I tell you that was the most traumatic experience of my life, I mean it. This dude, what we used to do is he would pick me up. I would get in his car, in his mom's car, because like he wasn't allowed to hang out with people because his mom had OCD, which I think was a lie, but whatever. And this was COVID times, right? So I get in his car. I would drive with him to anger management. We would, in the car beforehand, and then he would go to anger management, come back out, and then he would drive me back to my car, drop me off, and then go home. That was our relationship. That was it. That was it. You guys, this is my first relationship ever. That was it. One time, I went to anger management with him, and this was after we broke up, but we were still, you know, our situationship. We were still hanging out, hooking up, doing the thing, right? So, in like Lai or something. Mind you, we lived in the high desert, literally the desert, okay? And this man, we're like arguing and shit. We'd already been broken up and I was like, I'm not hooking up with you. I'm not doing anything with you. And he was like, okay, whatever. Like, you can just sit in this hot car then. And I was like, no, like, you're going to leave it on. It's July. I'm not going to sit in here in this hot car with no AC on. He's like, I'm not letting you run this car for an hour. My mom's going to see that the gas is low and she's going to know that you were running the car for an hour and like really bad for the car and like blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I won't leave it running the whole time. But once I get really, really hot, I'll turn it on. And like, see, AC, you're only in there for like 30 minutes. There's no way, right? Okay, sorry. We had to restart because we had some technical difficulties, but we're back. So as I was saying, he locks me in this hot car because he's like trying to get back at me for basically not wanting to continue the charade with him of, you know, we're together, we're not together, we are, we're not. It's like driving me nuts. But basically I ended up getting locked in the car and he put like the window like halfway down or so. That was it. And it was quite literally 101 degrees out. Yes, 101 degrees out. And this man locks me in a hot car without the AC running, no keys for me to turn it on. If I literally start to die of heat exhaustion, he wouldn't know until he returns from anger management therapy. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this was the first boyfriend I've ever had in my entire life. So as you can see, it only goes up from here. You know what I did? I had to pee. I have a very small bladder. One thing about me, one thing about my lore is I have to pee because guess what? I have a drink on me at all times. And I'll tell you why. Because it's just like a hand to mouth thing, I think. It's like the same thing as like vaping, but with a drink. Okay. It's just as much of an addiction. All right. Now, this man locks me in a car and I have to pee. What do I do? Oh, of course. I literally climbed out of the car through the window and pulled my pants down in a parking lot in broad daylight and peed on his mother's car's tire. And I didn't say a single thing to him about it. I peed, shook it off, pulled my pants back up, climbed back into the car. 15 minutes later, he comes and says, I'm like, drop me off at my car. I'm so fucking over you. And I think that was the last time I ever saw him. So, slay. The next thing I did after that was I got my nipples pierced. And I texted him the day of and I was like, hey, do you want to come with me? And he was like, where are you getting them done? And I sent him a tattoo shop that was like a bunch of dudes. And he was like, you're a slut. You're this, you're that. And I was like, hee. Meanwhile, I was actually going to the sister tattoo shop from there, which is only women. And I was serious because I personally just feel uncomfortable with a man staring at my boobs that I don't know. I got them pierced. And yeah, I mostly did that in spite of him just to piss him off. But besides my shitty ass first relationship, COVID was pretty great. You know, the whole year of 2020, I basically fucked off and did nothing. Ended up graduating barely okay GPA. I did not end up submitting any applications to colleges, actually. I realized I didn't want to go. I didn't want to sit in a classroom for 4 years just to not get any acting jobs. So I figured I'll make it on my own. I'll do my own thing, whatnot. And then after COVID, I moved back home in November of that year, back to go get my things and drove my car all the way back here to South Florida. And I was kind of around for jobs and trying to see what's going on. Mind you, I was making $16.50 an hour in California, working at a juice bar, going and looking for jobs, and they're hiring $8 an hour, $10 an hour. I'm like, there's no freaking way I'm going to be able to live off of $8 or $10 an hour here in here in South Florida. So I ended up in January of 2021, running a business with the help of my dad and my mom. And like, my dad helped build my bar out. My taught me everything I know about being a business owner. And we've been open for 4 years now. We just celebrated our 4 years this March, which is really, really cool. I started working out because I got really, really fat the first year that we were open. And by fat, I just mean for me personally, I was like 172 pounds at 5'2". Okay. I felt really, really down. I felt kind of lame. I was, you know, putting my business and working really hard. I got into another relationship that was really sweet. I have nothing bad to say about him. It was just, he wasn't on my level of like, I was a business owner and I was really hustling and I was trying to make it happen for myself. And he was just kind of like, oh, I'll do whatever with you. You know, very not what I want out of a relationship. I feel like in the relationship, I want to be able to turn off my masculine, because I'm in my masculine all day being a business owner. And about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago now, I met my current boyfriend who I live with, and he is the best, the most amazing human being. I actually met him in the club, because we all fam. But yeah, I lost like 60 pounds over the last like couple of years, but late 2021, early 2022, got really, really serious about my fitness goals, started making fitness content, started doing a lot of creator stuff, and here we are today. Celebrating 4 years. Like I said earlier, I don't want the podcast to be about being a business owner. I'll probably mention it here and there because it is a big part of my life. But I want this to just be fun because I feel like as a business owner, I have to put my pants on and be a big girl. And here, I just want to be 23-year-old Gabby, talking shit, spilling the tea, doing what 23-year-olds should be doing, which is just like having a good time. And 5 year this next January. And I've definitely been thinking about, you know, it's hard to own a business, especially right now. The inflation has been awful since 2021. We've had, you know, everything go up freaking 500%. It's been really, really hard to be a business owner. And then the last couple of months, I've been thinking, you know, like we're coming up on 5 years. And I like owning a business, but it's also exhausting having a physical location. And I'd like to do something with my life that I could travel and take the time to go away and, you know, in my life, I feel like having an actual physical location, no matter how successful it's been, and people who are more successful than me, I see them and they're like, yeah, I'm in my business every day, no matter. One of my New Year's resolutions for 2025 was really to just focus on content creation and that part of my dreams, because I've kind of set aside over the last couple of years to just focus solely on fitness content, to just focus solely on running my business, which I also have a fear of dying with regrets. I don't really think I have very many regrets in life. I think I've made up for a lot of my regrets and things like that, but living your life and then dying with regrets and refusing to chase dreams like content creation and doing a podcast and all this stuff, it's not what I want for myself. So yeah, now I live with the absolute most amazing man I've ever met, and we have 3 cats and a doge. And if you guys want to follow me on Instagram, I would love to see you guys over there. Follow my TikTok. You guys can see a little bit more of like my personal life. Make sure you follow my vlog channel at Gabby Giselle here on YouTube. Check out the vlog. By the time I post this first episode, the vlog of me starting this journey to start a podcast will be up. It's going to be probably like a 2 or 3 part series. I'm so freaking excited. I really want to get into our final little thing really quick. It's going to be called Yuck and Yum, because the other day I was talking to somebody and I was like, I don't want to yuck your yum or anything. And they were like, what did you just say? And I was like, yuck your yum. And they're like, I've never heard that. That's so funny. And so we're going to be talking about some things that recently have given me the yuck and things that have given me the yum. We're going to start with the yuck because I want to start with the negative and then end with a positive note. But we're going to start with yuck recently. And because this is my podcast and I can talk about whatever I want, I'm going to talk about something that happened to me recently. Recently, I got into a little bit of a tizzy with some people that I know. And the biggest yuck about it is that I'm an asshole. I am an asshole. I have no filter sometimes. And although I don't say anything to be mean anymore, like I don't mean it in an actual mean way. I like to fuck with my friends. Don't get me wrong. Like if I bully my friend a little bit, it's because we're good friends. If I can't bully you at all, we're not good friends. I will take the bullying as well. It's my love language. And you know, we'll use that sometimes to twist my words because it's believable that I would be like mean or say something negative or say something bad. And that gave me a yuck. That's a big yuck because I'm gonna tell you right now, if I like to say, although I'm not like the most like sweet and kind and quiet and gentle human, I'm a good friend and I ride or die for my friends. And when my friends don't do the same for me, it really gives me the yuck. The yuck. Okay. No more ick. It's yuck. Mm-hmm. The thing that's giving me the yuck recently, and I'll pull it right here off this shelf, this god-awful work of literature, whoever the fuck, and mind you, a disclaimer for the yuck series, okay? If I yuck your yum, I'm really sorry. And this book, I DNF'd this book. If you don't know what DNF means, it means did not finish, okay? Stopped at about page 255. It's awful. It's written so poorly. Not only that, but the man in this book, like the love interest, he marks her clit with her underwear still on, her white boy short underwear, with a ballpoint pen with an X. It gave me the immediate icks, okay? If you want to know how good this book is, let me just read you the first sentence in this book. And I'm really, really sorry to the Wild Love series lovers, the Rose Hill series lovers. If you like this, I'm sorry. I bought the second book thinking, I was like, it's gonna be good. And I don't know, maybe I just need to read this at a different time in my life, but this really gave me the ick and it put me in a reading slump so bad. I have only read 3 books this year and it's March. So, dude, Forbes named you the world's hottest billionaire. My best friend Weston Belmont announces the title with extra flair to mock me. Disgusting. Absolutely not, babes. Absolutely not. Now, let's talk about some yums, okay? Some recent yums. All right, number one recent yum, I tried out this new small business around me called Small Cakes, and got cupcakes from them for my boyfriend's birthday. Yum. Absolute yum. Does it have too much frosting on it? Yes. Did I take off half the frosting? Yes. But the actual cake? So good. So freaking good. And they were so nice to me, like really good customer service. Another yum. Recently, Black Ops. I've been on my COD gamer girl era and I'm actually not that bad. Now, last night was I getting absolutely trashed on by like grown ass adults who were unemployed probably on level 700. Yes. But I'm pretty good. I can hold my own weight sometimes. So it's been fun. I've been enjoying that. Now, for a book that I have been enjoying, my book club, which I do have a book club supposed to meet today, but only 2 of us were going to come. So we just decided to cancel because we're homebodies and we don't want to leave the house. This month, we're reading Stephen King's Holly and we're only halfway through. And like we read about halfway, meet, and then we read the rest and then we meet again. This is my first Stephen King novel and it's actually pretty damn good. I'm not going to lie. So last night I was finishing the last like 70 pages and I was like, on the edge of my seat. It's basically about this girl, Holly, who is a private investigator, and she gets reached out to, and it takes place in modern day, so it's like 21 COVID time, and it follows her timeline where she's trying to solve this mystery of this missing girl, Bonnie, and it follows a couple, Emily and Rudy or something, Rudolph or some shit like that, and they're crazy cannibals. And they're the ones like causing all these people to disappear, and basically you're just trying to see how they end up discovering that this couple, I'm sure eventually justice at the end will be served, hopefully, to this crazy ass old couple, but it's pretty cool. It's pretty good so far. So highly recommend if you are wanting to read like a thriller, suspense. It's a little bit horror. There are some like triggering words in here, especially as a person of color and maybe as a gay person, you might not like some of the words in here, but they're not, you know, viewed at the reader in a hateful way. It's more of like the shitty character who's a serial cannibal calls people this, and she obviously is like racist and homophobic, and it's kind of nasty when she speaks and when we get her inner monologue, but it's not very often. So it's pretty good so far. Well written. So those are my yucks and yums of the week. I hope you guys enjoy that segment. We're going to be doing it at the end of every week. Oh, another yum, actually. Swan Upon Leda by Hozier, okay? Brittany talked about it in her podcast a couple of weeks ago, and I just never listened to it. I'm not a big Hozier girl, but now I am, as of yesterday. Yesterday, I was like, you know what? I want to listen to some Hozier. Let me see what this is about. Ooh, girl. Killed it. Loved it. It's so good. If you guys haven't listened to it, it's basically a song he released in solidarity with women when Roe v. Wade was overturned. It's just, it's so beautiful. And I really strongly encourage you to listen to like actual lyrics. Sometimes beautiful. They are beautiful. So if you guys enjoyed that segment, we'll be doing it at the end of every single podcast, hopefully. And thank you guys so much for listening to my first episode of the Gabby Hour. If you guys enjoyed it, make sure you guys rate us 5 stars on whatever podcast form you're listening to us on. Or if you're here on YouTube, make sure you subscribe, like, follow, comment down below how you feel about my yucks and yums. Comment down below, you know, was your first toxic ass boyfriend like? And until next time, love you guys. Thank you. Bye.